be here and to express this love for you and for all of us. From 1 Samuel, we hear these wonderful words, and they so apply on so many levels, not only to the gospel, but to the situation that we find ourselves in. And this is what is said. God does not see the ways we see. God sees our hearts. With that, I want to just spend a minute talking to you about sacred time and sacred space. When we gather together in the name of Jesus, when we gather in this room, but wherever we are, you at home, wherever you are, we have gathered in the name of Jesus in this moment. And in that sacred space, we have become aware of the presence of God amongst us. Sacred space doesn't know distance. We don't have to worry about airwaves or whatever it is that's doing whatever we're doing in a live stream. God is present. And what we do as brothers and sisters is become aware of that presence. This is sacred space and sacred time. We don't have to worry about those things. What if you're watching this at 3 o'clock this afternoon? Don't worry about it. What if you're watching this on Tuesday by yourself? Don't worry about it. We are creating aware of the sacred space of God. We are together as brothers and sisters in the presence of God. Those are the restful waters that we heard of in the song. So I want to just talk to you today really about the gospel. Again, going back to what we heard in Samuel, that God sees differently than we see, that God sees our hearts. How our gospel begins is this. Jesus saw the blind man. Jesus looked into the heart of the blind man. Just like Jesus saw the woman of Samaria. These two stories, the woman at the well and the blind beggar, have a lot of parallels in them. But they begin with this. Jesus saw them. Jesus sees us. Of course, everybody wants to ask the question about sin. That's what they thought at the time, which was, you know, if somebody has sinned, then they get punished, and they probably get punished physically. They ask the same question of the woman of the well, concerned about how many husbands that she had. Not supposed to touch my face. Sorry, I want to adjust my glasses. Got to get over it. Jesus, they're asking about sin, and Jesus says, this man didn't sin, nor did his parents. God's will is going to be revealed. Do you hear the sight of that? The insight of that? God's will be revealed in this man. Hang on. The revelation is coming. Not quite yet. Jesus says this to all those around. I am the light of the world. Last week, we hear Jesus say, I am living waters. This week, I am the light of the world. It is this light that allows Jesus to see into the heart of the beggar, the heart of the Samaritan woman, into your heart and into mine. This is the light of God. And Jesus is that light, dispelling all darkness. He said, you know what? Let me spit on the ground. Okay, don't do this. But you know, back in those days, they thought that spittle had healing properties to them. I have to say that you know, I'm probably not the only person that ever got a wound out on the playground. If you've ever been a principal of an elementary school, you know that spittle is still used commonly and probably inappropriately, certainly today, as a healing element. But anyway, we don't need to digress into that. Jesus was doing what made sense to the people. He spit on the ground, got some dust, earth and water, primary elements, earth and water, and anointed the man's eyes. That's what it means to smear. He anointed the man's eyes and then said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means scent. Like Jesus is sent to us. The man is sent to the pool. The early Christian community would have heard and seen and known in this gospel that the parallels to baptism were present. That the man enters into the pool. Is washed. And when he comes out of the pool, he has seen for the first time. Baptism does that to us. It opens our eyes to know that we are God's children. By the way, through time and space. The healed man comes back to Jesus and calls Jesus a man. When asked, who was it that did this to you? A man called Jesus. The Pharisees are not happy yet. They're not going to be happy. They keep asking Jesus, who did this to you? We don't want to believe it. We can't. We think maybe you're the one, but probably not. Or they cannot see the man. They are so blinded by how they used to see the man that they can't see the man in a new way. And so they say, who was this? And Jesus says, he was a prophet. See, there's a difference. He was a man, and now he's a prophet. They continue to badger him. Please tell us the truth. Where's your mom and dad? You're obviously a sinning liar. Where are your mom and dad? Mom and dad come in and say, yeah, this is our kid. We know he was born blind at birth. We don't know how this happened. We're not going to tell you either, because if we do, we get in trouble. Because they decided anybody that confesses Jesus as the Messiah was out. That's why they said, he's old enough, he'll tell you. And he did. A couple more times. They say to him, finally, give glory to God. You know what that phrase means? It means tell the truth. When we tell the truth, we are giving glory to God. That's what they meant. Give glory to God. Or stop lying. Give glory to God. And he did. He said, you know what? Jesus healed me. He did give glory to God. That's exactly what they didn't want to have happen. But they got caught in their own blindness. The man says, God listens to the ones that obey him. To obey means to hear. God listens to those who obey him. Anybody that could do this is not a sinner. This is of God. The Pharisees are so lost, so blind. They can't see that they've been just trapped themselves. With their wisdom. So they cast the man out. You can imagine this little dark room somewhere where they're squinting to try to see what's going on, and they just cast the man out from that. And he goes out into the light and he meets Jesus. Jesus finds him, and the man says, who are you? Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man says, yes, I do. So the man so far has gone from calling Jesus a man to a prophet, and now the Son of Man, and just wait. His last proclamation to Jesus is Lord. of our lives as we get an idea of who Jesus is. We go through stages of that until at some point.